Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're heading up north looking at Northern Australia and a really interesting economic shift that's been happening.
Yeah, we've got some great research here. It was prepared for the Developing Northern Australia Conference from last year.
Right. And it uses data right up to November 2024. There's a small gap, isn't there, for early 2025?
That's right. Yeah, some flooding issues affected the February 2025 data collection, unfortunately. But the overall trend up to late 2024 is still very, very clear.
Okay, so what's the main question this research tackles?
Well, the core of this deep dive really is figuring out what's driving this pretty dramatic increase in women joining the workforce, specifically in Northern Australia.
And it really is dramatic, isn't it? The research stresses this isn't just a small change.
No, not at all. It looks like a fundamental reshaping of the labor market up there. So our goal today is to unpack the drivers, and think about what it means for the future.
Okay. So before we zoom into the north, maybe we should get the bigger picture, national trends.
Good idea. Yeah, context is key here. So
Yeah.
nationally, if you look at the decade from November 2014 to November 2024,
Right.
the share of jobs held by women did go up. It went from 46.0% to 47.8%.
Okay, so a noticeable increase. But what about actual participation rates? People looking for work or working?
Ah, well, that's where it gets really interesting. Female participation across all of Australia climbed quite a bit, from 58.7% up to 63.0%.
63%.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot more women in jobs than expected.
Exactly. It translates to roughly 260,000 more women employed than you'd otherwise predict based on, older patterns.
Wow. So what drove that? Wait, is it just population changes or something else?
Well, this is the key finding, really. The research points out that almost all, 2.2 out of the total 2.4 percentage point rise in Australia's overall participation. It came directly from more women participating. They call this the female propensity effect.
Okay, let's just clarify that female propensity effect.
Yeah.
It's not just more women being there, it's more women choosing to work or look for work.
Precisely. It's about a shift in the likelihood, the inclination of women to be in the labor force, separate from any demographic changes.
Got it.
And you see a similar thing in Queensland, too. Overall participation there went up 1.7 percentage points.
Okay.
And this female propensity effect, it accounted for 1.8 percentage points of that.
So slightly more than the total rise even
Ah.
suggests other factors might have slightly pulled it down otherwise.
Could be, yeah. It really highlights the strength of that female participation driver.
Right. So state level mirrors the national trend. Now let's go to Northern Australia. This is where things get even more pronounced, according to the research.
That's exactly right. When you drill down into places like Cairns and Townsville, these national trends are, well, amplified significantly.
Okay, let's take Cairns first.
Right, Cairns. Over that same 10-year period, female participation there just surged, up by 6.7 percentage points.
6.7, that's huge.
It is. And the female propensity effect. That contributed 4.7 percentage points to the total participation increase in Cairns, which was 5.8 points overall.
So wait, over 80% of the total growth in people working or looking for work in Cairns came from this increase in women participating.
You got it. Over 80%. It's the dominant factor there.
Wow, okay. And Townsville, you said that was even more remarkable.
Yeah, Townsville's story is quite something. Female participation there climbed by an amazing 7.3 percentage point.
Even higher than Cairns.
Yep. But here's the really interesting bit. The female propensity effect was calculated at 7.1 percentage points.
Okay.
Now, the total participation change for everyone in Townsville was actually lower, only 3.7 percentage points.
Huh. How did that work? How can the contribution from one group be almost due to the total change?
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive at first, doesn't it? But it really shows just how powerful this trend is. What happened in Townsville is that other factors, probably demographic ones, were actually pushing the overall participation rate down. But the increase in women joining the workforce was so strong, so substantial, it completely swamped those negative factors and still resulted in a net positive increase overall.
I see. So without that huge jump in female participation, Townsville's overall participation rate would have actually fallen.
Exactly. It would have shrunk. It tells you where the current economic dynamism is coming from in that region.
That really puts it into perspective. It's like women were paddling against the current and still moving the boat forward.
What about the Northern Territory? The research suggested that was a bit different.
Yeah, the NT is a bit more complex. Overall participation there actually dipped slightly by 1.1 percentage points over the decade.
Okay, so a decrease overall.
But even with that overall decline, female participation still went up by 3.3 percentage points.
Interesting.
And the female propensity effect, it still made a positive contribution, adding 1.9 percentage points.
Hmm.
So essentially, increased female participation softened what would have been a larger overall drop in the NT's workforce engagement. Right. So even where the headline number went down, this female participation trend was still a positive force counteracting it.
Precisely. Across the board in Northern Australia, in different ways, it's a really significant story.
Maybe looking at the summary table from the research would help cement these numbers.
Good idea. It lays it out clearly. So you've got columns for total participation rate, PR, female PR, and that contribution from female propensity. Looking at the change from 2014 to 2024, Australia, total up 2.4, female up 4.3, contribution 2.2,
right.
Queensland, total up 1.7, female up 3.5, contribution 1.8, Cairns, total up 5.8, female up 6.7, contribution 4.7, huge contribution there.
Yeah.
Townsville, total up 3.7, female up 7.3, contribution of a massive 7.1.
Wow.
And the NT, total down 1.1, but female up 3.3 with a positive contribution of 1.9.
Seeing it like that really drives it home. Okay, so the big question then, why? What's causing this? The research highlights a couple of main things.
That's right. Two key structural factors seem to be playing a major role. First up is the massive growth in the healthcare and social assistance sector.
Okay, healthcare. We know it's big, but how much has it grown?
Nationally, over that decade, it grew by, get this, 61.3%.
61% compared to overall job growth.
Overall job growth was 25.2%. So healthcare and social assistance grew more than twice as fast. It's now about 15.6% of all jobs in Australia.
And that's a sector where women traditionally have a very strong presence, right?
Absolutely. Over 75% female nationally. And the numbers show it. Of the 861,000 new jobs created in that sector, women filled 609,000 of them.
Wow.
The research also mentions the education sector, another female-dominated area, around 70% women. And that grew by nearly 39% too. Still strong growth.
So these key sectors heavily employing women are just booming.
Yeah.
And that naturally pulls more women in. How does that play out specifically in Northern Australia? Is it even stronger there?
Oh, definitely in some places. Take Cairns again. Healthcare and social assistance jobs there didn't just grow, they exploded. Up 117.8%.
117%.
Yep. That's 14,400 new workers and female employment in that sector. Up by 140%. That's 12,500 more women working just in that one sector in Cairns.
Goodness. So by late 2024, what proportion of the healthcare workforce in Cairns was female?
Over 80%.
80%. So like you said before, it's not just growth. It's almost entirely female-driven growth in that key sector.
That's the picture in Cairns, yeah. Townsville also saw healthcare grow faster than general employment, contributing significantly.
And the NT.
In the NT, female employment growth in healthcare was actually a bit below the overall rate for women there. But the education sector saw particularly rapid growth compared to other regions. And again, that's heavily female.
Okay, so it's clear. The type of industries that are growing is a massive part of this story. What was the second factor the research pointed to? Something about flexibility.
Exactly, the flexibility factor. This one's a bit harder to pin down with precise numbers, but the impact of more flexible working arrangements, especially, you know, post-COVID.
Right, the whole work-from-home revolution.
Well, it seems to have been a really significant enabler, particularly for women who, let's face it, still often carry a heavier load when it comes to family and care duties.
So how did the pandemic shift things? Did we see a direct impact on participation?
We did. There was a noticeable jump nationally in female participation from around 61% up toward 63%, pretty much right after the pandemic hit and lockdowns began.
And male participation
stayed pretty stable, around 71%.
So that timing really suggests that the shift to remote work, more flexibility, it allowed more women to either enter the workforce or stay in it.
That's what the research strongly suggests, yes. It lowered a barrier for many women trying to balance work and other responsibilities.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so we have these two big drivers.
Yeah.
The healthcare social assistance boom and increased flexibility. What does this all mean for policy for Northern Australia going forward?
Right, the so what question. This shift has real implications. The research points to a few key areas for policymakers to think about. First is enhancing support services.
Support services like?
Well, look, despite all this progress, female participation still isn't as high as male participation. The gap's a bit smaller in Northern Australia than nationally, maybe around 8 percentage points nationally.
Okay.
But interestingly, that gap is much smaller for young people, 15, 24-year-olds. It really widens out in that prime working age group, the 25 to 44-year-olds.
Ah, the years when childcare needs are often highest.
Exactly. So if you want to unlock more of that potential, the research argues strongly for things like more accessible and affordable childcare. That's flagged as critical.
Right. That's a perennial issue. What's the second policy area?
Infrastructure. But maybe not the kind we always think about first. The rise of remote and flexible work means we need to rethink what supporting the workforce looks like.
You mean less focus on commuting to city centers, perhaps?
Yeah, partly. It means needing really good, reliable telecommunications, think broadband, to support effective work from home. And also maybe different transport solutions that cater to more varied work patterns, not just the 9-to-5 rush hour into a CBD. It's about supporting work wherever it happens.
And didn't the research mention something about push back against winding back flexibility?
It did, yeah. It referenced a recent political proposal, I think, to reduce some WFH flexibility. And apparently the reaction against it was quite strong, with a lot of that opposition coming specifically from women.
That's telling, isn't it? Shows how valued that flexibility has become.
Very much so. It underlines how important it is for maintaining that higher participation rate.
Okay, and the third policy area.
It's about industry-specific support. Since we know healthcare and social assistance and also education are these huge drivers, It makes sense for policies in Northern Australia to strategically support the workforce needs of those specific sectors.
So things like targeted training programs.
Exactly. Targeted training, maybe specific funding models for workforce development in health and education, better workforce planning to make sure they have the skilled people they need to keep growing and delivering services.
Right. So it's about nurturing the golden goose, so to speak, supporting the sectors that are actually driving this positive trend.
Yeah, you could put it that way. Yeah. It's recognizing where the momentum is and ensuring the conditions are right for it to continue.
It really sounds like this isn't just, you know, a temporary blip or a minor adjustment. The research frames it as quite fundamental.
Absolutely. The conclusion is pretty clear. This big jump in female participation is one of the most significant economic stories in Northern Australia over the last 10 years.
Driven by those structural industry shifts and boosted by flexibility.
That's the core of it. And it has really profound implications for economic development, sure, but also for how infrastructure gets planned, for social policy.
For the communities themselves.
Precisely. Understanding and actively supporting this participation revolution seems pretty essential for the region's future vitality.
This has been fascinating. A really important deep dive into a trend that's reshaping a huge part of the country. It leaves you thinking, doesn't it? Beyond the economics, how else might these changes affect the social fabric up north? What other creative solutions could businesses, communities, policymakers come up with to really build on this momentum? Definitely food for thought. Thanks for walking us through it.
My pleasure. It's a really compelling picture.